we kick things off by getting on the telephone line and welcoming in ESPN's women's basketball bracketologist, our friend Charlie Cream. Charlie, how are you this afternoon?
I'm great, Rich. It's great to be on with you again.
Always a pleasure. We love it for a couple of reasons. One, to find out where everybody's going, but because it means spring can't actually be all that far away.
This is true, although right now I'm at the SEC tournament in Greenville, South Carolina, and you think, okay, hey, warm, southeast, right? The arena has been an iceberg all day. I'm shivering as I sit here and talk to you.
See, and you told me you were going to be there, which sort of ruined my image, which was you and Joe Lunardi in an underground cavern somewhere, green eye shades, watching video, comparing schedules, and yelling at people to keep out while you put all the numbers together.
Well, that all happened. It's just not happening today.
Okay. All right. Good.
I don't want to ruin it completely for you. Yeah, that absolutely happened. No sleep, chicken cheesesteaks, Diet Coke, and adrenaline.
What's the over under on how many emails you will get from coaches over the next couple of days wondering where you think they might be seated?
Well, the coaching emails have slowed down over the years, I think, because the stuff I do is so much out there already for them to consume. I have gotten a few text messages in the last couple of days asking about particulars. A lot of the coaches, I think, now defer to their media people, their sports information people, to get a hold of me. And there has been no shortage of that. I just handled, just in the last hour, I sent emails back to two sports information directors. So, yes, you're spot on with the interest being peaked very much at this time of year.
Let's start at the top of the brackets, Charlie. And who do you expect will be the four number one seeds?
I'm thinking that the four that the selection committee revealed on Monday night will still be the four that we see. However, there are a lot more permutations to changing that this year than there have been in past years. For instance, if perhaps Louisville or Notre Dame do not actually meet the ACC final, because when I say I think all four will be the same, Baylor, Louisville, Notre Dame, and UConn, I'm assuming or predicting that Louisville and Notre Dame will play each other in the ACC final. If that doesn't happen, then we're going to get a switch, and then it could be Oregon. And if Oregon doesn't win out in the Pac-12 tournament, it could be Mississippi State. If Mississippi State doesn't win out in the SEC tournament, then we kind of shift back to the loser of Notre Dame, Louisville, even though, or the loser in that conference, I should say, the one who got knocked out in the semis. So usually this time of year, there's not that many ifs and buts and what ifs along the number one seed line, but we still have a few of those left.
When you look at teams like the Maine Black Bears, what are you looking at first and foremost? Is it who they have been able to beat both in and outside the conference, or is it the strength of the conference itself?
It's really about the team. So in this case, it's about Maine, and it's okay, what have they accomplished? Who have they beaten? And the North Carolina win, there was a time of the season it didn't look like it was going to mean all that much, even though you would expect when it happened, wow, this is crazy, this is North Carolina. Then it took North Carolina a bit of time to get going after that. But if you play the transitive property game, right, Maine beat North Carolina, North Carolina beat Notre Dame, Maine's number three or four in the country.
I like that,
of course,
yes.
It doesn't work exactly like that, or even close to that, but it's a fun game to play.
Yeah.
So that's what I look at. With a team like Maine, it's like, okay, what have they done? What have they accomplished? Who have they beaten? What's the strength of schedule? To some degree, there is an element of how strong is the league, because I think when you get into the teams at the conferences at the America East level, where you see the team that comes out of those leagues does have a little bit, or maybe more than a little bit, to do with the strength of the league overall that particular year. But that also plays into individual strength of schedule, too. So there's an element of both of those things in it.
And is tournament experience a factor?
It's not, because this year is separate from last, or from, you know, any reasonable history of the team. If that came into play, the committee would have so much more on its plate to deal with. So it's really about evaluating this team in this season and the accomplishments or lack thereof of that team.
We're talking to Charlie Cream, ESPN bracketologist. Well, of the most recent bracket I saw, you had Maine, should they win the tournament, going in as a number 14 seed. What elevated Maine? Is it that North Carolina win?
It's a little bit of that. I think it's the 15-1 record in the league. There are similar leagues to Americans around the country where the leader or the winner is not does not have that gaudy of a record. You know, maybe they're 11-5, maybe they're 14-4, depending on the size of the league. 15-1 says something. It does stand out a little bit. It wouldn't even shock me if Maine ended up as a 13. I think that's in the cards still too. It kind of depends on some things in some other leagues and who ends up winning and who doesn't end up winning. But that's one thing that jumps off the page to me is the dominance that they've exhibited in the American East all year long.
And does it help too that they're playing their best basketball right now? If they get through the tournament, I think it'd be 14 in a row going into the NCAAs.
That does mean something, and that's something that could very well elevate them another line. The committee does look at that: who's playing and doing what right now, and how in the case of Maine, how dominant were they in winning their conference tournament? Did they cement the fact that they were regular season champions by really, really taking care of business at the tournament? And that'll play a factor in where they're seated too.
Now, Maine does have that strong record and 22 wins overall. If they were to get upset in the tournament, would they have any shot at an at-large bid?
As soft and as weak and unpredictable as this bubble has been, I don't think so. It's just the American East itself, going back to what you asked about earlier, just isn't strong enough of a league to get two bids.
Right,
and that's what we'd be talking about if that were the case. There are a number of other leagues that are stronger, overall, top to bottom, where they might have a chance. Or take Maine's 22-7 record and compare it to just the three losses that say Rice has in Conference USA. Rice would be a team maybe more first in line for a situation like that to jump into the field as an at large. So Maine does need to, in fact, take care of business at the American East Tournament in order to get a selection.
And you've got them paired up in your bracket against the Terrapins of Maryland. If that ends up correct, what kind of a matchup would that be for Maine? How good is this Maryland team?
It's good. It's not quite the Maryland teams we've seen the last few years. They're athletic. They've got a player in Shakira Austin who is a freshman, but who's averaged a double-double, and she's dominant defensively. So it's someone you want to stay away from on the interior. It's a fairly experienced team, and they shoot it. They have a couple of decent to very good shooters, and they only have three losses. But some of the results, especially lately for Maryland, have been a little eyebrow raising. They were down considerably to teams that they should be beating fairly easily and had to make pretty big comebacks in order to win games and pull them out. So I could see a weakness there that perhaps weaknesses there that a team like Maine could maybe take advantage of if that happened to be the matchup.
Charlie Cream, ESPN bracketologist. Not many of us can say we're the best in the business at what we do. Nobody's better than you at women's basketball bracketology, Charlie. Always great for us to have a chance to catch up with you.
Rich, always a pleasure. You do a great show, and I commend you for the job you've done over so many years, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Well, Charlie, we appreciate it. Good luck over these next few days, and hopefully some rest is at the end of the rainbow for you here.
April can't come soon enough for that.
I'll bet. Thank you, Charlie. We'll talk with you again next year.
Thanks, Rich.
15 minutes after 5 o'clock here on Downtown. Great stuff, Charlie Cream, ESPN Bracketology on Downtown.